Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Very special Father's Day. On Father's Day, Mother's Day, different celebrations we have. We commit our afternoons to celebration, and that's no different today. There'll be no youth tonight because we're celebrating fathers. Today's Father's Day. Father's Day. So I always say that a lot of people would say, well, why don't you have church on Sunday nights, or why don't you do a lot on Sunday nights? We do things on Sunday nights, but really, we live in such a fast-paced world, I think it's very important that we honor God on Sundays. And there's times to do that at church, but you can do that in your time with family. And so I always respect the time that families get together, and it's important that we make that. Now, if you're not going to spend time and honor God, then we might as well just come and honor Him right here. And there are times, obviously, that we do that, and we will be doing that here in a few weeks at our July 2nd, July 4th celebration. Boy, it's a great time. Start talking that up. We will have a place on the back table, a bucket on the back table. Also, Ashlyn had mentioned that we will have a place on our online giving that you can allocate for that. We want to continue to grow that. And I'm all the time throwing out to the men, hey, fireworks are fun. Come on, even as an older person, they're fun. They are now. And what I want to encourage you to do is I want to encourage somebody at some point to go get their license so we can bury some of these things and make them even bigger. But nobody's taking me up on that yet. But anyway, we're going to have a good time, and we get a bunch of them. And so that's a great evening. Make sure and mark your calendars for that on Sunday, July 2nd. Well, y'all ready for the Word today? If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to 2 Kings. And I will eventually get to it. As a grandfather now, this is a very special Father's Day for me. I'm just telling you that I'm having a ball. And I've talked to many of you grandparents out there, and I understand this. It's only just begun. I'm enjoying watching her. I'm enjoying providing fun for her. I'm enjoying the smile and the look that she has when she locks eyes on me coming in the door. I love it when she puts her hand up and goes like this. Not because I'm leaving her, just that she's so happy. And I love buying her stuff. Stuff that I couldn't buy when I had my own kids. Now I'm in a season of life that I can buy for my grandkids. And whoo, got to watch it. This is getting real emotional real quick. Being a grandfather, I read a quote this week, and I kind of curtailed it to my own, but you can have all the fun a dad can have being a grandfather without all the responsibility. And there's something that is, I'm not saying that we're not responsible when she's with us. God, I want y'all to know, but when she's done with the fun and mom or dad comes in, I love the look that also comes on her face. And you know, when her teeth are hurting or she's a little tired, something grandpa can't do, I can watch dad walk in. And she'll take her dad just like she is right now. She's got her arms open and she'll hug him and just lay there in the comfort of her father. Even at 7, 8 months old, the comfort of a father. I watched that in my granddaughter. And many of you have seen that. Many dads here know there's nothing like just laying in your father's arms. And when things are bad, just if I can just lay in my daddy's arms. And I watch her lay in his arms. And I watch a security that only a dad can bring. Today, I want to talk about the security of a father. The security of a father. Very important. There is a joy, a peace, and a comfort that comes in a father's arms. And I was thinking about the security the secureness that a father offers. And I wanted to, I researched that word, and I kind of had this in my mind this week of what I wanted to talk about. And the word secure means dependable, firm, not liable to fail. I like it. I like that phrase. Not that they won't ever mess up, because all of us have had dads that have messed up. And if you are a human being, you have fallen short of the glory of God. There is none that have just automatically, because of your greatness, been in right standing with the Lord and been in right standing life. And so everybody has messed up. But there comes a point that you as a child look to your father and you don't see them as liable to fail. They're just not liable to fail. They have the right answer. I've got my kids thinking, I have them thinking I know just about everything. Or I can figure it out if I don't. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know everything, but I can't figure it out if I don't. Why? Because I know the Lord. And he didn't give me a failing mindset, a failing attitude. And because of my connection to him, my kids have the right thought about their dad. And what I want to encourage you today is there's security in life because of that. There's security in life. Dads, I understand you don't know it all. I understand that you have failed in life, but you're not liable to fail when you're connected to the Lord. See, there's a difference. And so when we're talking about security of a father, secure means dependable, firm, not liable to fail, that you're firmly established. We have a bunch of dads here, praise God, that are firmly established. They're firmly established. The word security, you have to understand secure before you get security. Security means an assurance or a guarantee based on what you are secure in. Now that's deep, so I want you to get it in your head. It means an assurance or a guarantee based on what you are secure in. That makes you have security in something, a thing, someone. There's security here. And so security of a father means that they have established in their life a firmness, a boldness, a dependability that the child can feel secure in. Now, obviously, I'm going to turn this to your thinking and make sure you understand that same principle that we are to have about our earthly fathers, we are to then turn over to our heavenly father. And let me just say to you, I was giving you an English definition. And when I say not liable to fail, I entered human error. But when you take God, you can take the not liable, not possible. He will never fail. And there is a security you can have in your heavenly father that supersedes anything that your natural father may have failed you in. Maybe you say, well, you don't know my dad. He's liable to fail every time he opens his mouth. So, I mean, there are some people who think, I mean, I understand that, but you got to know that there comes a point in your life where you understand that every father will fail. To what degree, I don't know, but that's why they need Jesus just as much as you do. And when you get a hold of that and you turn over your security issues in a failure of a possible earthly father and you give them to your heavenly father, life will be different. There is security in a father. Well, today, being a dad is a great privilege. How many dads would say, absolutely. It's a great privilege. I came up and during our prayer time when my family was there and I just said, God, thank you for the privilege of being a father. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's an awesome responsibility. I remember Ashlyn being born, and I remember Tristan being born, but Ashlyn was first, and when Ashlyn was born, I remember something flipping in my brain going, whoo. I thought that I was a responsible person, and I'm about the most irresponsible person. God, I need your help. Because you've entrusted this child to me. This is a reward from you, a gift, and I ain't got a clue. I ain't got a clue. I've got to figure this out. And oh God, I need your. See, all of a sudden, when there's a lot of responsibility on you and you take that serious, it'll make you realize you can't do it on your own. You're in need. You're in need of God. Fathers have an awesome, tremendous influence on their families. Let me say this. One of the reasons the course of our nation has failed in so many areas is because fathers have failed. And I want to encourage this church, as I'm speaking and people listening to this podcast, that it's very important if we want to turn our country around, we got to turn our families around. Amen. And turning our families around starts with a daddy. Amen. Starts with the correct father figure. If a young man grows up without a dad, his chance of going to prison rises twofold. Now, when a father walks away from their responsibilities, the entire family suffers. Whatever pathway a father walks, whether good or bad, his children are likely to follow, and I have seen it time and time and time and time again. Without fail, I've seen it time and time again. Insecurity is one of the biggest problems our nation faces right now, and especially our kids. And you can ask a youth director, anyone who works with kids, insecurity is a major deal. Well, how do we fight it? We get kids secure. How do you get kids secure? You get them into an understanding of who their father is. Father God. Now, hopefully and prayerfully, we got a bunch of daddies that will have their kids go and be in an order that will transfer correctly. Because that's the way God established it. But I understand that there's not, and without a father figure, our kids, our nation has no hope. You take God out of everything and you take dad out of it, and what chance do you have with the kids? See, dads are gone right and left. The church has got to step up and provide not an earthly per se father, but point them to a heavenly father that will never fail them, ever, ever fail them. Insecurity, big, big problem. And so today I want you to understand where security is met in God's people. It's in three parts where security is met. Number one, it is in the spirit man. We are three-part beings, and security has to be met in all three parts. First, your spirit man has to be met. You have to know Jesus. You have to be introduced to the Lord and Savior of this world and make him real and personal to you. You have to accept him. If you're going to be secure, there has to be a spirit man conversion, where your spirit is lined up with God. And we have a lot of that happening across the country. We do. We see people saved. I mean, I hear it all the time with people that I'm around that are involved in ministry. People are not failing in salvation. There's people getting saved all across this country. And they're getting saved at record rates right now, believe it or not. You can see it. See it time and time again. I was reading all the quotes from a couple of conventions that are going on. And the reports of what's happened over the last couple of years are amazing at the number of people that have come to know Jesus. So people are getting saved at a record rate. Well, what's going on? We're not secure in all three parts. Now let's keep going. Our spirit man's got to have the security of knowing Jesus. The second thing that's got to happen is our soul, our mind, has to be secure. There's got to be security in your mind. Without security in your mind, you make wrong decisions. And so daily, let's bring this to the Word, you got to be washing your mind with the Word. Because whatever you feed the mind is the direction the mind takes you. So we got to get secure in our mind, and then we got to get secure in our physical being, our physical man. Where we find ourselves entertaining, what we find ourselves doing. It's not just about eating, but also about eating. It's about what you feed yourself physically, what you feed yourself mentally, where you find yourself on Friday night, where you find yourself on Sunday morning, on weekends. What are you feeding? Where is your security? And what I find is we are in a world that's trying to make us secure by living in the United States and because of our government. Security will never come from the government. Security comes from a father. And what I'm trying to get people to see is it comes in all three areas. Now, here's what's happening is the physical man is trying to persuade the soul, the mind, to make all the decisions on what makes you secure. That's why there's ads and commercials out there for makeup, for every type of clothes that you should be wearing, for what all essential oils. Oh, I'm not even going there. There is all of these things that are trying to get security in young women based on what they're feeding the physical. Let me just tell you, the physical is very important, but it doesn't supersede the spiritual. And we've got to feed and get the security in the spiritual so that it will overflow, and our soul, our mind, will then be the one telling the physical what to do. You can override the physical when your spiritual's built up. But when you don't have security spiritually, then you're going to be looking for it somewhere. And the devil's quick to come in. The world's quick to come in and tell you how you can feel secure. But it's not a feeling this morning. It is a fact that security comes from the Lord. See, where we get messed up is when we start seeking our security from someone other than our father. Now, young people that are 2, 3, and 4 years old and have not been introduced to Jesus yet, their security needs to be in a father. See, that there's a need there for our young people. And as we have camp every year, I am amazed at the young people at our camp that our counselors are praying over every night, that we're ministering to, that don't have a father figure. And our goal in 5 days will be to introduce them to a real father. Not to throw under the bus their earthly father, but to say, you have someone who will never leave you, who will never forsake you, who will be what you need him to be because he wrote who you are. He created who you are. This is easy to talk about, but let me just tell you, it's another thing to live. Real quick, what needs do you have in life that you are insecure in? Ask yourself that question this morning. What things are not being met? Now let's go back to the definition. If you are right now thinking, well, there's a lot of things that I've been wanting. I mean, I've kind of been looking at a new dirt bike. I've kind of been thinking about four-wheeler. See, young people are going to have all of these things that they consider as needs. I've been really waiting till I can get my first smartphone. I don't know what that need is, but I want to encourage you, as I'm talking about what you're in need of, everybody will have a different list of what you're in need of. Let's go over to the spiritual side because we're in church. No, because we're Christians. And because we're Christians, when we start looking at what we're in need of, we need to see what the Bible says we're in need of. We're in need of peace. Because we're in a world that doesn't have it. And it's not going to. I mean, they're going to be crying and hollering, peace, peace, peace. Peace only comes internally. And then it can affect your external. But peace starts right here. And when you don't know Jesus, there's not going to be peace. So spiritual man that we're supposed to have security in, there's got to be peace in your spiritual man. That provides some security. How many of y'all remember times where you just really felt everything's peaceful right now? You can always look back and see where there was a security in the Lord. When you feel truly loved, and I mean just life is, who I am loved. I feel so much love. When it's God's love, it's because God's presence. See, when you feel secure, it's because you have peace, you have love, And let me give you one other one, joy. There is a joy in God's people that when he is present, you can't get away from. I have watched God's joy just overflow into people and come out physically. But when you try to get your spirit to receive from the joy that's going to happen from a dirty joke, it doesn't do the same thing. There's not a happiness, there's not, and I'm not saying joy and happiness are the same thing. I'm talking about joy that comes from the Spirit of God. It just produces something. You can see it in people's face. Well, man, what's going on? I don't know. Man, that person has so much joy. How does that joy come? It comes because their spirit, man, is providing their security. And so what I want to do is I want to take all that and I want to think about it. Peace, joy, and love all happen based on where you've placed your security or in who you have placed your security. And if you'll get your mind to listen to who you've placed your security in, then you'll watch your physical body follow. You'll watch your finances follow. You'll watch what you see as important follow. When your spirit man is the one leading, what's going on? Are y'all hearing me today? All right. Money, shelter, food, and clothing. If that's what came on your list, just know this. God has a lot of promises in all those areas that when your spirit man's lined up, all those things take care of themselves. Now, obviously, you have to put your hand to the plow and you're a part of the process. But there's no need to fear. There's no need to worry about it. Security will come for you when you get your spirit man lined up. Security happens. And the security of Father God is what we're looking at. Here's what happens. People get these out of order. And that's why when someone loses a job, you can watch their whole family just, what am I going to do? I just don't know. Now, they may not do that, but they're going to think that. And they're going to be, how am I going to make it now? What am I going to do? I just lost my job. If your security is in your job, then it's in the physical and you're in trouble anyway. So you've got it out of order. When people get it out of order, that's when they get in trouble. Know this. There are times that jobs will be lost. There are times that the economy will fail. God never fails. And so when you're dependent upon the things of the physical to provide you your security, you're in trouble. There will be always someone out there that have better clothes than you do, young lady. Nope, I got the best. No, you don't. Somebody's got better clothes than you. Oh, are you kidding me? There's always somebody that you're going to at some point develop an insecurity if you're looking at things to provide your security. See, that's going to produce an insecurity in you. Food, what you're eating, your shelter, your money, your clothing. You got to know that what will be met as needs in your life will be met when you get your security in your Father, not in things. Are you hearing me today? All right. This is my point today. Fathers, to truly give your kids security, it's got to come from them seeing your security is based in the Lord. Fathers, hear me today. This is something I want to encourage you with. Your kids get their security at a young age based on, this is the way God set it up, based on them seeing that your security is in the Lord. Not in things, not in your job, not in your paycheck, but in the Lord. Security in the Father. That's how your kids will have their security in the Father. And you got to know that. Whatever they face, they will respond based on what they've seen you do and how you have done it right or how you have done it wrong. They will have a response based on what they saw in their dad. I'm here today to tell you that you can live a life, a secure life. That is possible for you, and that is getting your spirit man in control. That's what I want you to see today. I want you to hear that today. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 21. I started out saying, turn to Kings, and said, I'd eventually get there. I'm there. And if you're not, you wasted a lot of time. Verse 11, 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 11. King Manasseh of Judah did many detestable things. He's even more wicked than the Amorites who lived in this land before Israel. He caused the people of Judah to sin with his idols. So this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I will bring such disaster on Jerusalem and Judah that the ears of those who hear about it will tingle with horror. I'll judge Jerusalem by the same standard I used for Samaria and the same measure I used for the family of Ahab. I will wipe away the people of Jerusalem as one wipes a dish and turns it upside down. You wipe a dish and turn it upside down, that means it's cleaned out. There's nothing in it. That's what he said he's going to do to the people of Jerusalem. Verse 14, then I will reject even the remnant of my own people who are left, and I will hand them over as plunder for their enemies. For they have done great evil in my sight and have angered me ever since their ancestors came out of Egypt. Manasseh also murdered many innocent people until Jerusalem was filled from one end to the other with innocent blood. This was in addition to the sin that he caused the people of Judah to commit, leading them to do the evil in the Lord's sight. The rest of the events of Manasseh's reign and everything he did, including the sins he committed, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. When Manasseh died, he was buried in the palace garden, the garden of Uzzah. Then his son Amon became the next king. Amon was 22 years old when he became king. Verse 19. He reigned in Jerusalem 2 years. His mother, and tells who they were. Those words are big. I'll skip them. Verse 20. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as the father Manasseh had done. He followed the example of his father, worshiping the same idols his father had worshiped. And in verse 22, I want you to read this. He abandoned the Lord, the God of his ancestors, and he refused to follow the Lord's ways. So you got Manasseh, you got Amon, and then Amon has a son. You know what his name was? Josiah. A couple of generations of some bad stuff and then a generation of some good stuff. If you want to read, it's a great story of what Josiah did. But as I was reading, don't read it now, I'm preaching right now. So anyway, the two here, Manasseh and Amon, they messed up. Verse 22, he abandoned the Lord and he refused to follow the Lord's way. I was reading that and I thought, wow, is that not what we're seeing right now all across the country? We see people that have committed their life to the Lord, then they abandon the Lord, and after they've abandoned the Lord, they abandon his ways. I see people abandon the Lord, but they go ahead and follow in his ways for a short time, and then they would go ahead and quit. And what I want to encourage you today, dads, fathers, live a life that's admirable. Don't be Manasseh. Don't be Amon. I mean, all of these things that were happening here were not good examples. Jesus set the example of a great father. Mark 10, 14. Here's what Jesus was telling everybody. Because people were seeing children as insignificant. And Jesus said, let them come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs. The kingdom of God, the things of God, who I am, belongs to those who are like these kids. Those who are like these kids who, what was it about the kids that belong to the kingdom? What they wanted to be near Jesus. They wanted, and all the adults were like, no, 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 no. Come on, the kids are in service today because they have a desire for the things of God. They have a desire for the security a father brings. They have a desire, and Jesus loves his children, and he wants to be involved in their lives. We need to set that example, dads. I know your kids may not do everything you want. Well, don't walk out the door and leave them. They were born in sin just the way you are. Love your kids. Stay connected. They're going to mess up, I understand, but they need a father figure who says, no, come to me. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to be a part of your life. I've got some questions today, several, that'll make you think, dads. Make you think a little bit. The following questions are asked to help fathers determine what kind of example they're leaving for their kids. And if you hear these today, understand, you might be hearing these and think, well, that wasn't my dad. That's not what I want your mind headed towards today. What I want you to see is my Heavenly Father led me to all of these things. But for dads right now that have kids in the home, for grandfathers, you've got young people that are looking to you. And so I have some questions for you. If your children follow in your footsteps, will they make Jesus Lord? If it's all dependent upon you, dads, will your kids make Jesus Lord? Will they get saved? Will they live for Christ? Will they talk about their personal relationship with Jesus? Here's what I want to encourage you. If you want to make sure that happens, talk about your salvation experience with your kids. Talk about the day you gave your heart and life to Jesus. Talk about the importance of salvation. I'm going to send them to Bible school. I'm not against Bible school. Praise God for Bible school. Praise God for camps. Praise God for avenues that parents send their kids. But ultimately, Dad, it's your responsibility. You're the Father. Provide the security of salvation. Let your kids know when you got saved and what it's meant for your life. If your children follow in your footsteps, will they have a strong desire to discover and fulfill God's will for their lives? Because they've seen your strong will and desire to fulfill God's will for your life. Obedience to the Lord doesn't come naturally. Let me say that again, because that was really good and nobody said amen. Obedience to the Lord does not come naturally. It is not an inherited trait. I say this a lot. God has no grandkids. They are first. Your relationship with God is because you are a son or a daughter. And your obedience to Him, see, is because you chose that. He chose you and you said, I accept, I'm there. Children need a father's instruction. Children need a father's correction. And they've got to learn early what their dad does in why he is involved with the things of God throughout their lives. Dads need to be teaching and guiding, teaching them how to walk in God's will by placing them in correct environments where they're influenced correctly. Yes, you have that responsibility. If they could choose the right environments, they'd be on their own already. They can't choose right environments, so dads, it's your responsibility to help them be placed in the right environment where they can grow correctly. Everything is guarded in a child's life because you got a dad who cares enough to guard. Guard. Well, I just don't know. I think they ought to be exposed to a lot of different things. There will come a ton of exposing, trust me. But don't do that at 4 years old. Don't do that at 8 years old. There's a time of guarding. And we've got to also be there to intervene when they're being influenced by wrong kids, wrong actions, wrong influences, wrong movies. My kids may have got tired about it, but they do it now. When we're watching a television program, they will talk about now. Here's what they were trying to say. Well, do they not remember the countless hours? I'd stop and say, here was what was trying to be said right there. Oh, Dad, can we just watch the show? No, you're going to learn from this. Just the other day, my kids got up and walked out of a movie. This is not what we're watching. Why? Because there was a father figure that set an example. Now, I'm not sitting here bragging on me. I had a father figure, and now they do. And it's not because of me. It's because of the father that they look to. He wouldn't be accepting of that. He wouldn't be okay with that. And I'm not going to sit here and expose him because he's in me. I'm not exposing him to this either. See, if your children follow in your footsteps, will they live lives of faith, focused on God, trusting Him for their needs? It's easy for children to think of their dads as the ones who provides for them. Come on, it's easy for kids to think that. Well, Dad provides that. Dad does all this. However, no one knows what the future can hold. Financial challenges are an opportunity right and left to come your way. And why I said opportunity is because when challenges do come, that's an opportunity for you to say, look. Look how God's going to see us through. Amen. There was some financial challenges in our life. Michelle and I had some major financial challenges. And there were times where I was eating Tums as my meal. I mean, but my kids, they saw a security in the home. See that? And I saw security, and my wife saw security in our Father. And now that transfers over to where our kids see their security in their Heavenly Father. See, so I want to encourage you. Your children are going to follow in your footsteps. What are your footsteps looking like? If your children follow in your footsteps, will they be industrious? Fathers need to teach their kids to set goals. Set goals. And then talk about what's required to fulfill them. What is required? You set a goal, but if you're not going to do the things that will fulfill it, then you're not going to get there. The best way you pass on this lesson is for them to see you setting goals in your life and then living by them. Here's where we're going. If your child watches you, are they seeing you put your best foot forward in what you're doing in life? A child's way more likely to follow the examples of diligence if you're diligent. And they're way more likely to follow laziness if you're lazy. That's just the way it is. If your children follow in your footsteps, will they have the wisdom to live today with tomorrow in mind? Come on, this is a big one. Will they live that way? God wants his people to enjoy life, but at the same time, understand that a day is coming when they've got to give an account to Christ for how they have lived. There's coming a day. If dads teach this truth to their children early in life, it'll protect them from living foolishly. It's important. Dads, you have such a responsibility. If your children follow in your footsteps, will they be encouragers who lift up other people? Here's who I can tell you if that'll happen. If they see a father who lifts up other people and doesn't throw them under the bus all the time, then they will be kids who then become adults who lift people up. And we've got a generation of people that just put people down. Fathers, we got to change this. We got to change this. And if I'm speaking to you today, I don't have anybody in mind. I'm just saying, if that's you, be careful what you're saying in front of your kids. Lift people up. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. If your children follow in your footsteps, will they have prayer lives that are genuine, diligent, and based on God's word? Because your children will, in a lot of ways, follow their prayer life based on what they saw their parents' prayer life be. Instead of telling children to pray, fathers lead them in prayer. Well, I just don't know. I'm kind of embarrassed. Oh, you got to get over it. I don't know how else to say it. You're making it all about you. When you're, I just don't know. I don't kind of feel weird about praying. That's called insecurity. You need some security in Jesus. Get your security in the Lord and get over that and lead your family in prayer. Why? Because it's important that our kids see that in our fathers. I'm just speaking directly because I'm watching what's going on and somebody's got to say this. See, when a father is vulnerable before God, sharing their needs, concerns, and struggles in prayer, children will learn what a relationship with the Lord looks like. Now, let me just put this little thing in. Obviously, within reason. Don't produce insecurity by praying about everything the kids can't handle at their age. There may be some things right now that you're guarding them from because you're producing security in you. But you're letting it all out before God. God, I need you to know. Well, in front of your kids, produce security in your prayer life, but let them see. God, right now, we're trying to make a decision on where we should go, on what we should do in this situation. And God, I'm looking to you as the author and finisher of my faith. I'm looking to you to write out what needs to be done. God, I'm looking to you, and we're believing you, and we're standing firm in your promises. And see, when your kids start seeing that, what happens is they see Dad has a security in the Lord. Now, that's the way they'll start praying. You watch. That's the way they'll start praying. If your children follow in your footsteps, I got a couple more. Will they hunger for the word of God, seeking to live according to his principles, developing a deeper relationship? Children should learn very early in life that the Bible is God's guide for life. The Bible is God's guide. They need their own copy of scriptures very early. very early. They need to have their own copy. And then you can look up in their Bible with them things that are going on in life. Because every answer that you're ever going to have will be found here to any question that you'll face. Every answer. I got to have an answer. Let's go to the Word. Let's go to the Word. Let's go to the Word. If your children follow in your footsteps, will they seek to personally lead others to Christ? One of the most rewarding, exciting times was when our kids were very young and then coming upstairs and saying, Mom, Dad, we've been playing downstairs and talking about the Lord. One of our friends wants to know Jesus. Oh. And now countless, countless people that we've watched them lead to the Lord. Well, why? Because they saw Mom and Dad doing everything they could to tell others about Jesus. Now, there were times that we have failed. But we see, God's book is all about Him and how you can live life according to His ways and live the abundant, blessed life. It's for the Christians. And so knowing that, we get that from our Father, from our Heavenly Father. Well, dads, right now, are your kids getting that from you? Are they seeing the Bible as your source? How you live, what you do. If your children follow in your footsteps, will they lead others to Christ? Well, it depends on if you are. Well, I just don't know. Well, there's a lot of resources out there on how you can lead people to Jesus. Take some steps. Well, I don't know. Come talk to me. Lots of different things that we can share on how to do that. If your children follow in your footsteps, will they faithfully serve the Lord through their local church? I tend to talk to a lot of people about this. It so amazes me as now this church, and I've been pastoring for 12 years here, it so amazes me. Is that right? Okay. I've watched young people that were 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, that are in their 20s now. And here's what I have seen. I have seen overwhelmingly the service, the commitment to the local church be mirrored by what the mom and dad did. If mom and dad were faithful, I have watched in this church, I've watched the kids be faithful. If mom and dad were sporadic, I have watched the kids be sporadic. If I have watched mom and dad not be faithful to serving and being a part of the local church, I have watched their kids not make the local church. Now, I have seen exceptions, but as a rule, that's what I have seen. That's what I have seen. Come on, dads, if we just be faithful, and I know I'm speaking to the choir because you're in church this morning, but what about Wednesday? How important are you making church to your kids? So think about that. Many young people duplicate what they see in their parents when they get older. What you are doing right now will be what your kids mimic. What's a big responsibility? Dads have the responsibility to be actively involved in a church and to teach their children that this is a vital part of God's will for their life. You can't find anywhere in Scripture where it's not. It's just not important. It is very important. They've got to learn from their parents that attendance in church is important. They gotta learn. If your children follow in your footsteps, will they recognize their body as the temple of the Holy Spirit? Or will they put whatever they want in there? Because mom and dad did, it didn't really matter. Dad didn't care. Since the world promotes a variety of practices that harm the body, know this, they can either get it because of their security in the Father or their security in the world. They need dads who honor their the temple. If your children follow in your footsteps, will they live and work in the power of the Holy Spirit? Come on, think this through. Well, I just don't really know. Well, learn. Learn. When children see their fathers engaging in the gifts that God gives us, engaging in, and I'm talking about all that He has given us, then they will operate in those same spiritual gifts. They will. They'll walk right into that without any thought because they can find security there. They learn that God has a purpose for their lives, wants to empower them to accomplish His will, and the gifts will allow that empowerment. So look, we've got to be teaching this. Dad, did you get anything from what I'm talking about today? See, I didn't expect you to come in here and just give a feel-good sermon. I wanted to challenge you. Challenge you. Challenge us as fathers. Let's change our family and change what may have happened if you had an Amon or you had a Manessa. You can be the Josiah. That was what I thought about calling this message. But really, it's all because of the security in the Father. Security in the Father. We can live that way. What's your response today? Think about it. What ways have you followed the path of your earthly father? What ways have you followed? Answer that question yourself. What ways have you followed? Now, some of them were great. Praise God for the things you followed your earthly father in. But there were some that you had to change the tradition. I'm not setting up idols. See, I'm not following that. There's no security in idols, and there's a bowl that gets wiped out and turned upside down. I read something about that. Not really wanting wiped out. See, we've got to be thinking on a different term here. If you're a father today, what qualities do you want mostly to pass down to your kids? Well, everybody in here would say, well, I want God's qualities. Then get them qualities in your life, and you'll watch that. You'll watch that be followed. Did y'all get anything from the Word today?
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.